our family to your family. This is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast.
Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad that you joined us for the 94th episode of the podcast as we move into the month of December and head towards some holiday that kids seem to like for some reason. I don't know why kids like Arbor Day so much, but Christmas is coming up. But speaking of kids, Leah is not with me this time. I'm joined by two kids. Maybe you've heard them before on the program, Mary, Carol, and Turner. And we're going to be talking about, on this episode, reading, because we like to read a little bit. We read quite a bit as a family. We read quite a bit of books alone. And in just a little while, we're going to talk to the kids about a couple of books they like, that you might like, and then I'm going to share with you some books that I've enjoyed reading this year. I'll talk more about that in just a couple of minutes, and we'll have links to all the books in the show notes, and maybe, you know, Christmas wish ideas, Christmas list ideas, or maybe some books you might want to put on your reading list for 2018. Hard to believe we've been talking about 2018 yet, but it's not too far away now, and so we're looking forward to that. But first of all, we're going to talk to the kids about some books and about reading in general. So, Mary Carol, why don't you go first? Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Mary Carol likes to read. Now, this is not a video podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Agree?
Yes.
Why do you like to read so much, Mary? And you read a lot. Why do you like to read so much?
I don't really know. I just like reading books. It's fun to see what happens.
And you like reading stories, right? I mean, you like reading fiction and all kinds of, you know, just made-up stories. That's cool and everything. And you've brought a couple of books that you've read pretty recently, I think, right?
Well, I haven't read this one in a while.
Yeah, Mary Carol also has a thing where she'll reread books like 14,000 times, sometimes more.
Yeah. That's I've read true. This one about six, maybe.
I like this one thing. Again, this is an audio podcast. But all right, so let's see. Let's do this one first. What's the name of this book?
This one's Mandy and the Secret Tunnel.
Mandy and the Secret Tunnel by Lois Gladys Leopard, I guess.
That's what I'm guessing, because I don't know how to say it.
All right, so it's a Mandy book I see here. And it's called A Turn-of-the-Century Story from the Backwoods of North Carolina. Why do you like this book?
Well, the first way I figured out that about this book was that we watched one, but it was Mandy and the Forgotten Christmas. Well, I saw this book, and I got this book, and I like it. It's about a girl, Mandy, and she's living with her mother and her sister, and her dad has died at the beginning of the book, is what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So she's living, and her mother is getting married again soon. She's going to be going to another house to help a family take care of their baby in another town. Well, eventually, she doesn't want to be there anymore. She doesn't want to go there from the beginning. So eventually, her dad's relatives, the reason why they were never invited to anything that, like holidays and stuff, was the reason because they were Indians.
Mm.
His relatives were Indians. Mandy's father's people helped her get to another place. They helped her get to her uncle's house. And there she got to meet her real mom. And her mom married her uncle, so now her uncle became her father. And so now she's living in this big house, and that's where it comes to. But in this, she thinks that her uncle has died, because that's what it says. He was in Egypt on a trip,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's trying to find his will. And that's what this is about.
Okay. Wow.
And how she, and the secret
is it
tunnel.
Exciting?
Why don't you read it for yourself and find out?
Wow. That was a shot.
You're not the only one. She always says that to me, too.
Yeah, so... All right, so Mandy in the Secret Tunnel is your first book. Your second one, I'm not surprised you picked. It's from the Magic Treehouse series, which you have about 4 billion of, I think.
Nope. Just some of them... I'm missing some of them in between, which that does not really help me figure out what part I'm at. I'm hoping to get some of those, maybe for Christmas.
Hint, hint. So this is Magic Treehouse number 18, and the name of the book is Buffalo Before Breakfast. Mary Pope Osborne, of course, who's like your hero. Because she writes Magic Treehouse books. Why do you like Buffalo Before Breakfast?
I don't know what's
You don't know?
One. I don't know what it is about some of these books, but these have always just interested me. And this one, in this series, they're taking about, let's see, it tells us... their magic treehouse takes Jack and Annie, the two main characters in the book, and their little dog Teddy, who they're trying to help, an enchanted dog, back almost 200 years to the Great Plains, where they meet a little boy who shows them how to hunt buffalo. Something goes wrong, and now they need to stop 1,000 buffalo from stampeding. And I like that. I don't know what's so cool about that, but I love the dog. Mm-hmm. But what it is, it's actually a boy who's playing around with magic.
Oh, okay.
He got enchanted. One of the spells he did, and he was using a very powerful book, which he shouldn't have been playing with. They had to find 4 things, I think. I think this is the third. They had to find 4 things, and then... Morgan.
Don't give the whole story away now. People might want to read it.
Morgan, an enchantress, has to use those 4 things to make a spell to change him back into himself.
Yeah. So, Buffalo Before Breakfast, of course, you would say just buy all the Magic Treehouse books and you'll be happy, right?
Yes.
All right, so that's a couple recommendations from Mary Carroll, and we'll link to these in the show notes. Mandy in the Secret Tunnel and Buffalo Before Breakfast from the Magic Treehouse books. Turner is next. Turner, you like to read too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, Turner usually likes to read like informational kind of books, like all about the orchestra and why black holes are black and all kinds of science-y, music-y, arty stuff, right? But you've chosen a storybook, right?
Yes.
What book did you choose?
I chose Mr. Fox by Rondell.
Mr. Fox by Rondell, I think is how you say it, but it's the same guy that wrote the BFG, if people are familiar with that, from the book and the movie, right?
The BFG.
Yeah, well, it's almost like we've seen the movie or something, right? So why do you like The Fox by Mr. Dahl?
Because he is a cute little fox who is a dad of many other baby, even cuter foxes. And then he doesn't have any money, so he has to go and steal some chickens and some turkeys from the farmer next door. And the farmer is a human, so guess what the farmer does?
I don't know.
He tries to shoo him away.
Oh, okay.
And then so he hires men to stay beside that foxhole, but Mr. Fox, who is very, very clever, he digs a hole into the barn so they don't know that he digs that hole, but he gets more chickens. And then at the end of the story, it says that those men that are trying to shoot him are beside that hole to this day.
Oh, me. So... I think it's interesting you chose a storybook because you read more like nonfiction, just information stuff. But that's cool. Now, I'm sad though that neither one of you picked The Wizard of Oz.
I thought you were going to pick
After
The Wizard of Oz.
After we've read 15 billion pages of The Wizard of Oz this year.
Well, you've already mentioned that.
That's true. We'll link to that in the show notes too because we've mentioned on the podcast about 4,000 times already. We're through 7 novels, The Wizard of Oz, but that's been fun. So
I'm getting excited about the next novel because it's TikTok, the Machine Man, and Daddy's made a funny voice, and I believe he's going to lose his voice by trying to do this funny voice.
For the whole book, yeah.
Like, TikTok's voice goes like this. I am TikTok.
Yeah, it's not real fun to do that for page after page after page. But well, we've enjoyed reading those together. Like we've said on the podcast a few weeks ago, we're reading something else right now. But we've enjoyed the Wizard of Oz novels thus far. We have several to go. We'll probably get to in 2018, get to some more of those. But all right, guys, good job.
Thank you.
We're always glad the kids like to read. I thought it'd be fun for you to hear some books from the kids. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend the rest of our time, and I'm going to share with you my 10 favorite books from this year. Most of you who listen to the podcast know that I like to read. I like to read a lot. I read a lot at night, get ready to go to bed, history and biography and that sort of thing. Also, of course, read a lot for being a preacher, read a lot for Bible class preparation and sermon preparation and just general books about faith and relationships and all sorts of things. And I forgot to look before I started recording this, but I've read somewhere around 70 books this year, so this is not like the only 10 books I've read all year long. But I chose 10, and I put these only in order of kind of category, I guess you would say. They're not like, you know, 10 to 1 or 1 to 10 as far as best to worst or anything, but just 10 books in general. The first one is a leadership book, and it's one that I had read before, but I read with my men's reading group. It's called The Servant, A Simple Story About the True Essence of Leadership. It's written by James C. Hunter, and this is, compared to the rest of the books I'm going to talk about, I guess, it's a little bit of an older book, but the whole idea behind The Servant is the idea of servant leadership, but it's written in story form. That's why it's called A Simple Story About the True Essence of Leadership. It's based in when Mr. Hunter went to actually a monastery to some kind of training and had to interact with different people there. I don't want to give away too much of it. It is just a story. And a few of the guys in the reading group said it's been their favorite book so far. I think we read it in January or February. But it's been their favorite book so far. A great little leadership book. Very biblical as far as the principles go. Obviously some things we wouldn't agree with. There actually is a little bit of language in the book because of one of the characters in the story. So I will warn you of that. But I love reading that book for leadership principles and loving with other guys to see what they think about it. The Servant by James C. Hunter. The second book, you could call it a leadership book if you want. But it's a general book really as far as just living life. It's called 3 Seconds, The Power of Thinking Twice, and it's by Les Parrott. Les Parrott is mostly known, to me, writing relationship-type books. But 3 Seconds, the whole idea behind the book basically is, what if we just paused before we said something? What if we just paused before we did something? What would we do if we just took basically 3 seconds to consider, you know, a handful of things before we said or did something? And it's a very simple premise. It's not a very long read, but it's a very simple premise, but one that's needed. And the way he divides these things out is how we can spend those literally 3 seconds could make a world of difference living inside of our values, making wise decisions, not getting caught up in things that don't really matter, and so on and so forth. Again, it's a very quick read, but one that I found helpful. Sometimes I go the other way, instead of, you know, 0 seconds, and, you know, I may go like 3,000 seconds instead of 3 seconds. But the whole idea is to think before we speak, think before we act. I think you'd enjoy that book for relationships or for leadership. It can be a good book for elders to go through together to think about, you know, when they're counseling and shepherding and those sorts of things. But 3 Seconds by Les Parrott. And again, don't worry about remembering all these names. We'll link to all these books in the show notes for this episode. We'll give that address near the end of the program. But just keep that in mind. The third book I want to mention is also one that I read with my men's reading group. It's called Fight. And the subtitle is Winning the Battles That Matter Most. That's written by Craig Groeschel. Mr. Groeschel, I don't agree with a lot of his theology or his some of his salvation issues, but this is not a salvation book. This is a book for men overcoming temptation, being strong in the things that really matter, those sorts of things. But he takes it from the angle of telling the story, or taking the principles, I should say, from the life of Samson, and how you have, you know, the strongest man in the Bible who made all kinds of mistakes. There are several chapters, but they're all very, very short, which makes it a good sort of devotional type read. Again, read that with my men's reading group. I enjoyed it. Got some decent sermon ideas, I'll tell you. Or Bible class ideas, anyway. But the book Fight by Craig Groeschel. Book number four, written by Michael Whitworth, who's probably no stranger to many of you. It's a book he has had in the works for some time, but it finally came out this year, and I'm glad it did. It's called How to Lose a Kingdom in 400 Years, and it's his guide to 1 and 2 Kings. If you're familiar with Michael's writings, his guides, I guess his most well-known was his first one that dealt with Genesis. It was called The Epic of God. These are not commentaries, but they are well-researched, and they are very much guides. You basically read the text in your Bible and then come to this guide and get some ideas, get some thoughts on it, but it's not written like a commentary, which I really appreciate. And having just taught 1 and 2 Kings not all that long ago, I'll tell you, I learned even more by reading this book. That helped me understand those books even more. Those are very confusing books to me because you seem to go from one kingdom to the other, you know, northern to southern, southern to northern, back and forth, it seems. But Michael does a good job of helping us stay focused on the story, but also on the fact that this was God's kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, kingdom of Judah, and how the people, as he uses in the title, lost that kingdom in just 400 years. So a powerful, powerful study that... you will like and enjoy How to Lose a Kingdom in 400 Years. The next three books deal with family issues. I read a lot of that material, try to anyway. This book is Timothy Keller with his wife Kathy, and it's called The Meaning of Marriage. And the subtitle is Facing the Complexities of Commitment with the Wisdom of God. If you're familiar with Timothy Keller's writings or his sermons, frankly, at all, you know this is going to be very well researched, and it is. And you know he's not going to pull any punches, and he doesn't. I absolutely loved this book. As one who tries to speak on marriage, you know, and hopefully have a good marriage myself as well, The Meaning of Marriage is a powerful book that, as I said, does not pull any punches whatsoever as far as God's intention for marriage. To be to his glory, to be one man with one woman for life, and so on and so forth, but very well researched and presented in such a way where there are modern issues tackled, but with a biblical background, you will find yourself amazed by the breadth of research done, but also by the simple way in which you can read that book. Book number six, I believe it is, that I have for you is also a marriage book. It's called For Better or For Kids. And it was co-written by a couple, Patrick and Ruth Schwenk, I think is how you pronounce their name. And they run a blog that I used to read more often than I do now, but came across this book and just absolutely love it. The whole idea behind this book is oftentimes a couple is very, very close until they have children. And it's not they don't love having children, but we're trying to raise kids. And sometimes the couple grows further apart or drifts further apart because they are trying to raise the children. And then when the children leave the home to go to college or the military or the workforce, the couple has no idea who they're married to anymore. They've grown you know, further and further apart. This is a book that helps us to understand that our first priority obviously is to God, but in the home, our first priority is to our spouse. And we stay close to our spouse, and that helps us then stay close to our children, raise our children, and be effective parents. But how can we do that? How can we have communication? How can we have romance? How can we have those things when there are kids running around over the place? Well, it can be done, and that book is a very helpful. It's very light as far as its reading. It's serious. They take the material seriously, but they're not afraid to tell their mistakes, tell funny stories, or say, "Yep, we've been there, done that before," and you will enjoy that read, For Better or For Kids, by Patrick and Ruth Schwenk. Book number seven is by Dr. Meg Meeker, one of my favorite parenting and family experts. A book called Boys Should Be Boys, Seven Secrets to Raising Healthy Sons. The reason I love this book is because Dr. Meeker does not say your son has to be star of the football team to really be a man. It is simply saying we are raising a generation of boys who do not know how to be boys because our culture will not let them be boys. They're taught that they have to be just like girls. They're taught that they have to be effeminate, or they're taught they have to be, you know, this superhero, over the top, you know, testosterone laden, you know, crazy level of male, when in fact they're just boys and it's okay. There are certain things that boys do that are weird, and some of that is okay. It has to be channeled, of course, But it's a very powerful book because she basically writes the book to advocate for boys just being boys. If he's an artist, let him be an artist. If he's, you know, a football player, let him be a football player. Those things can't take over their life, but let them, you know, be molded in the way that they should go. She also has a book called Strong Mothers, Strong Sons, that's sort of a companion, I guess. Obviously, I've not read that, not being a mother. But Boys Should Be Boys is an absolutely fabulous book and one that will open your eyes if you have sons to just those tendencies that boys have that we kind of go, what is wrong with him? Well, sometimes it's because he's a boy, and that's what happens. So there's seven books. I've got three more for you. These are all history books. If you know me at all, you know I like history. I majored in history in college. But I love reading history books, read several a year. This one I'm going to get made fun of for putting on the show. I know the name of the book is Pedestrianism, When Watching People Walk Was America's Favorite Spectator Sport. I do not know how to pronounce the author's last name. It's Matthew. I believe it's Algeo, A-L-G-E-O, Algeo, something like that. But there was a time in American history, the late 1800s especially, when the idea of spectator sports was new because of the Industrial Revolution. People had more regular schedules. Some had some more disposable income. And so with that came the rise of spectator sports. And one of the first that became very, very popular was literally watching people walk, pedestrianism. They would set up big circles, tracks inside of big buildings, and people would walk for literally 6 days at a time, nonstop. How far can you walk in 5 days or 6 days in that time? The fascinating thing about that book is how much resistance there was to this, even from preachers. There's even some writings in there of what preachers would say, because it was a waste of time, it was a waste of money, it was harming the body. Some of the stories that are told are a little bit gross, actually, what people's bodies were doing when they would walk that far, hundreds of miles, literally, in 5 or 6 days. But it is a fascinating look into something in history, and if you like sports history, it's a really fascinating read, into spectator sports. Early on in that, the rise of that in American history. So I enjoyed it. I know it's a silly thing to read a book like that, but I absolutely enjoyed it. Pedestrianism, When Watching People Walk, was America's favorite spectator sport. Book number nine might be my favorite history book of the year, but it is a lengthy book. It is called Appetite for America. It's written by Stephen Fried, I guess. It looks like fried chicken. But the subtitle is How Visionary Businessman Fred Harvey Built a Railroad Hospitality Empire That Civilized the Wild West. So now you know why they just gave it the title Appetite for America. If you enjoy the American West, reading about the American West, you know, cowboys and Indians and locomotives and all that kind of stuff, you will absolutely adore this book. There was the man Fred Harvey, if you've never heard of him, who built, as they call it in the book, an absolute empire. When railroading was new going out west, but people could afford to do it, he built hotels, restaurants, those sorts of things, but with the absolute finest of everything. And people began to plan their trips knowing they were going to stop at a Fred Harvey store, Fred Harvey restaurant. And it talks about how much of that became a lot of our hospitality business here in America, how things are done. It is a wonderful book. It's a humorous book at times because of how quick, you know, the train would only stop in some places for a few minutes, and how they had to have everything ready, and how quickly they had to serve all the people, let them get back on the train to continue their trip, and so on and so forth. But I absolutely love the book, and it reminds us, of course, of our modern day fast food restaurants and other restaurants we see, you know, nearly every intersection on the interstate. Some of that, you know, grew out of the Fred Harvey experience that stretched all the way across the West, up into Chicago and elsewhere in the Midwest and so on and so forth. But I absolutely loved it. And if you like, again, American history or the history of the American West, you'll love that book. The last book I have for you to talk about is one of the more recent books I just finished. And don't worry when I tell you the name. It's not a political book at all. But the name of the book is The Radical and the Republican. It's written by James Oakes. The subtitle is Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, and the Triumph of Anti-Slavery Politics. I've been doing some reading this year with all the racial tension and things we have going on in our country. I read one of Frederick Douglass's autobiographies. I read some things online. But this book, I just happened to stumble across it in a bookstore. And I am so glad that I read it. because it talks about, it is not a dual biography. In fact, the writer even says that late in the book. This is not meant to be a dual biography. It's not Frederick Douglass's full biography, followed by Abraham Lincoln's full biography. It is how these two men, who are so well known for letting the slaves go in Abraham Lincoln's case, letting them go free, the Emancipation Proclamation, Frederick Douglass being such a champion, of course, for that, as well as for civil rights, how they did not see eye to eye on certain things, but grew to see eye to eye on so many things. It kind of traces that. My favorite thing about this book, frankly, is that Mr. Oakes, in writing the book, goes to original sources. There are very, very, very few secondary sources in it, but it's not a hard read at all. But he uses Frederick Douglass's own words, Abraham Lincoln's own speeches, what the newspapers were actually writing back then, those sorts of things, to tell the story. Obviously, reading a book like this is not going to change everything in America that's going on right now, but it does give some insight into where a lot of this came from, a couple of hundred years ago, or 150 years ago now, in our nation's history. So it's called The Radical and the Republican, Frederick Douglass, Abraham Lincoln, and the Triumph of Anti-Slavery Politics. And the writer is James Oakes. Now, ran a lot of stuff by you. Mary Carroll gave you a couple of books. Turner gave you a book. I gave you 10. So there's a lot of books to choose from, as well as The Wizard of Oz, of course. But if any of these interest you at all, or you forgot what we talked about, just running through all of these, we will link to all of them in the show notes. You can see the links there to find them, I guess, in all the cases on Amazon. And the show notes for this episode can be found at fawnfamily.com/POD94. fawnfamily.com/POD94. And you can go there, find all the links, and hopefully you might find one or two or 13 of these interesting, maybe again for Christmas ideas or something you might want to pick up to read next year as you set out to just fill your mind with good information, helpful information in the coming year. We have something exciting for you on the next episode of the podcast. On episode 95, upcoming in a couple of weeks, we have the entire Legacy of Faith family together to talk about Christmas memories. And so I'm not even going to try to list all the guests on the archives and things, but you're going to get to hear from Elizabeth Tatum, from Turner, from Mary Carroll, from Daniel Tatum, from Luke Tatum, from Leah, from my sister Amber, from Jeremiah, from Mom, from Dad, and you have to listen to me too. But so that's on the next episode in a couple of weeks. I hope you're looking forward to that. But again, check out the show notes for this episode, fawnfamily.com/POD94 for all the book recommendations. And look forward to back with you again in a couple of weeks with that special episode about Christmas with the whole Legacy of Faith crew. But until then, remember, your family can't go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.